in the future, and sometimes you think, man, if I could go back to this and that, but you can't, can you? They haven't invented a time machine yet. So some people have regrets of days gone by. Others are like, oh, bring the good old days back, right? But we can't go back even one day. We can't go back to just 1 minute ago. We just keep moving forward in time. Amen. I like that analogy that says that, you know, talks about how the windshield is so big, but the rearview mirror is so small. Right? We really can't look back too much, right? If you spend your time looking in that rearview mirror too long, what happens? You'll crash. But that windshield's big and it's made for going forward. My prayer today as we talk, and I'm asking the Lord to help me to communicate that by the time we're done today, that people will be challenged, people be encouraged, people be strengthened, that the Holy Spirit would reveal some truth into your heart, into your life this morning. That's always my goal. My goal isn't here that, the goal is that you guys get done and say, wasn't that nice, and leave here and say, yeah, but what did he say? It was so whatever. I pray that the Holy Spirit will drop something in you today. He always desires to do that. Lord, my prayer is right now that this morning that you and I would have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying for your life, your family, for this church, for our communities, for the coming year, for the coming year. Amen. So we can look forward to the future regardless of any situation, right? God is on the inside of you. The devil's on the outside trying to affect the inside of you. Amen. That's what he's trying to do, trying to bring havoc and pain in our lives through other people and situations. We understand that. But I'm praying today that he who is in you, I think of this scripture that says, his love has been shed abroad in my heart. I'm saying, Lord, help me to understand what that means, because I don't always feel that way. A lot of the times I don't walk in this so-called his love has been shed abroad in my heart. Lord, let me understand what that means, that everything in my life, every situation, every set of circumstances, Lord, help me to understand what's that mean, that your word says that your love has been shed abroad in my heart. Lord, I pray that be evident in my life. Amen. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hopefully you're picking up what I'm putting down. You know, today, and I want to, and I promise you, you'll hear the title of this and you'll say, oh, nuts. I don't want to hear this. But I pray that you wouldn't have that mindset this morning, that you would allow me to open the scriptures from what Paul had to say. In this scripture, what I think God is going to do in the hearts of his people in this coming year, this sermon is called Examine Yourself. Examine yourself. You know, examining, we think of it examining. We go to a doctor and they examine us. We know about being examined, right? So they look inside your ears, right? Open your mouth and say, aw, right? They weigh you every time. They give you the bad news on that. They listen to your heart. So we live in a world where everything, and this is the way it is about examining you, right? Let me give some other examples. It's, if you go to school, you're going to be taking some exams, right? We're going to find out what you've learned. It's just the way it is. If you go to school, there's going to be some exams. You're going to take that exam, and then someone is going to look at it and examine that exam that you took. So we go to school, you go to job, you know, you get evaluations, you hear, speed up, Tom. Watch how you talk to that customer, Sally. Always being examined. Isn't that true? That's the world that we live in. Amen. You can go borrow money, and they're going to examine your FICO score very closely. You want to be examined, go try to get a loan, you know, like buy a house or something. I think a car, they'll give a loan to anybody. I don't know about that. But I think, I know on a house, you'll feel like that they came in and checked through your sock drawer. They will examine everything. They will overturn every rock when it comes to money. And and it'll feel intrusive, but they'll tell you, you're going to let us examine every area of your finances or you're just not going to get a loan. You know, even if you have kids, if you remember when you had kids, it's John, little Johnny, I noticed you didn't take out all the trashes. I was examining that. Or Jenny, I noticed how you made your bed there. Let me show you. So we have these things that are actually good and it's exciting. We're always feeling like we're being examined. You know, we live in a society now where if anybody scrutinizes, this is not where I'm going, but this is a statement. We live in a society now where if anyone scrutinizes, corrects, or says you did this or did that wrong, if there's any type of examination, people lose their minds anymore. Did you notice that? Any type of scrutiny at all, where people won't follow the laws of the land, that's what you truly call lawlessness. Nobody's going to examine me. Nobody's going to tell me I'm doing anything wrong. I think some of the struggles maybe in our schools are that. In a time where you're not only having to fight maybe or deal with the kids, you're now having to deal with the parents. And saying, nobody's going to examine me or my kids. Nobody's going to say they're doing wrong. But let me just say this as I start out. Examining ourselves is okay. People will mistake examining their own lives, their attitudes or their beliefs or actions for condemnation or legalism. That's not true. I used to walk in that type of thing where if I was examining myself, I was coming off of the basis first that I needed to do some things to get his acceptance. But what I'm talking about examining, as we look at some scriptures, I'm not coming from that point of examining yourself so God will accept you and love you. No, if you know him as your personal Savior, amen, if you understand repentance, amen, that we desperately need to know in this day, in this age, man, you can be at rest and at peace that you belong to him. So in examining yourself, we're not trying to earn something, but we are trying to get somewhere. Amen. And so, but don't worry, most people are more interested in examining other people's lives than their own. You ever notice that? It's funny how in society kind of that we know other people's motives, right? We know other people's motives, but we don't even care to examine what our motives are sometimes. But we darn well will look at other people's motives. Human nature. You remember Adam said, no, it wasn't me, it was that woman you gave me. It's her fault. It's not my fault. It started right there in the garden, examining somebody else. Now, I take no responsibility. You know, I think we're coming into this year of this point here is called a year of removing logs. A year of removing logs. Amen. And that comes from Matthew. You know, when I read this, you'll know it. Matthew chapter 7, 3 through 5. This is Jesus. Point four, you're moving logs, and it says, Jesus, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Does this sound familiar now? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, the log is in your own eye. This is Jesus saying. You hypocrite, he says, you hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your own brother's eye. Do you have that little cartoon, Bill, if we could put that up real quick? I don't know if you can see this. Can you see, some of you, can you see it? He says, hey, you have a speck in your eye. And he says, almost got it, hold still. Trust me, I'm an expert. And he's got this big, see that big beam coming out of his own eye? This is a picture of what Jesus was saying there. Trust me, I'm an expert. I've almost got it. Funny picture, but that is kind of a picture there, really, of what Jesus was saying here. It really is. It's funny, you look at that, but it's a true statement. I just want to say this, thank you, Bill, as I was reading this and putting it on paper for my message. I'm not kidding. This is how things work. God is God is so good. It's all of a sudden, right after that, my wife said something. She was in the laundry room, and I went in the laundry room, and we started having this discussion. And I'll just share a little bit. I don't mind this at all. This is just an example of specs in logs. And we're talking about her parking. But I'm going somewhere. I'm not dishing on my wife. And I've been, you know, last couple of years, I've been working really hard on helping her with her parking. Where today, you know, that couple of days ago, she says, you know, I'm getting tired of you examining, scrutinizing my parking. But I'm dealing with that speck. But this is how the Lord spoke to my heart, though. I went back and I remember all these times, it still happens to this day, where my wife or my grandkids, my kids will say, Dad, get off the phone when you're driving. Yeah, but it's important. I got to check this business text. Oh, it's important. I got to check this business email. How much more dangerous is it for me to be on my phone when I'm driving with my family than worried about her parking? So I focused on the speck in her eye, but didn't see this big log coming out of my eye. So somehow, that log in my eye wasn't even a speck. I justified it. Mom, I got business to take care of. But somehow, had to make it a point that I've got to show you how to park. But don't say anything about this log in my eye that is 10 times more dangerous than anything parking. What's the worst thing that can happen when you don't park right? You get all these dings on your door. But you're not going to kill nobody. You're not putting your... She's not putting the family at danger. And so right when I put this set of scriptures into my notes, this conversation with me and my wife happened. And the Lord says, I want to talk about logs this morning. I want to talk about logs this morning. You know, what are these logs and specks that Jesus might be talking about? Can I say, you know, it's, you know, log, but let's say this first, a speck in the Greek is a dry twig or a piece of straw, little piece of straw. A log or a beam, but when we talk about this log, a log or a beam, a stick or a timber or a beam of wood. There's a big difference between a log or a piece of lumber than there is a speck of sawdust. Amen. There's a difference. You know, it's the interesting human nature. I have a twig I have a twig and you have a beam, but Jesus describes the opposite. See, he spoke what was true. And the truth of the matter in our lives, there's many areas, I think, where God is going to, in this coming year, dealing with his people. I know he is with me. And I think other people too, where he says, you know, let me show you some logs. And I want to get you off of focusing on some other people's specs. Amen. Because as long as we're focused on some of these specs, you will never see those logs. It's amazing how you can born again, love Jesus, worshiping him, seeing all these things happen, and have these logs in our eyes in certain areas that we don't even see. Until he reveals them in his goodness, in his kindness, in his grace. Amen. You know, these beams can be described as our shortcomings, weaknesses, trespasses. How do you know they're trespasses or failures? We'll talk about it right here in Galatians 6. But how do we remove logs? Well, the only way we'll show in the scriptures that we can remove logs in our eyes and things is we have to examine ourselves. It's become for some reason that if we examine ourselves, for some reason it's wrong. We know that Jesus is our righteousness, but I want his righteousness not just to be something that I say out of my mouth, but actually something is coming forth from my spirit man through my soul realm and through my mind and is actually seen out here. I'm tired of hearing about Jesus being my righteousness, but it doesn't have to affect our belief system and what we do and how we act. That is not God's grace, amen. It has an impact and a grace. Matter of fact, if we're not careful, It talks about it in Jude chapter 1, one chapter of that book, where it talks about people using the grace of God to excuse wicked behavior and say that it's okay. That's where we're at in society today, where the Church of Jesus Christ, because of everything that's coming against it, has to stand up and say, this is right and this is wrong, or we'll be swept away with the tide. We'll be swept away with the tide. And I don't know about you, but the Lord putting a warning in my heart. Do not be deceived, Chad. Start allowing me with my love to deal with these logs in your eye. He does it out of love. He does it out of his grace and his mercy. He does it because I belong to him. Amen. He does it because he wants the Church of Jesus Christ to be strong and established and understanding right and wrong, making judgments on what's right and wrong. Amen and amen. So here we go, Galatians 1, chapter 6, verse starting 1. This is Paul says, brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness. Amen. With God's kindness, his grace, his mercy. Amen. Not in judgment or harshness, but with God's grace and mercy. Because that's what it says. In a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Don't get caught up in what you're trying to help your brother with or your sister with, man. Be surprised how often that can happen. Get swept away in the same thing. And then it says, bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Helping one another, praying for one another, concern for people, helping him with those burdens. And then it says this. It says, for if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Well, there's our name in the Bible, nothing, isn't it? Well, everything he's done, it's all on him. Not that we're nothing like a piece of garbage. It's like everything that he's done in our lives is through him. Everything that God has done to change me, to heal me, to deliver me, to anoint me, has been on him, not me. I've trusted him to set me free from things. I've allowed him finally to start showing some logs in my eyes that he wants to remove so that I can see more clearly. Amen. It was him, but he showed me. So I'm saying I didn't do any of that. It is him by his spirit, by his truth, by his anointing, by the power of God. I am what I am, and it's only by his grace. I can't take any credit for that. Can you in your life? It says he deceives. So, but it says this, continue. It says, but each one... Here's the language, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting, but not to him, but to himself alone, and not to another, for each one will bear his own load. So we get people's help that helps us, but we're responsible for our own walk, amen? We can have people help us. We can have people encourage us, but at some point, amen, we stand by on our own two feet with the power and the love and the anointing of God in our own lives, amen? Let me just say, you know, when you've been around a little bit, some of you, right? So someone who boasts about themselves, this is what I come to learn. There are deficiencies and flaws they cannot see. There's logs. Or someone who complains constantly about others, or constantly talks about what is wrong with their family or their spouse or their mother-in-law or even the government constantly. We know all this stuff. And never talking about the good things of God, never taking an inventory of what God would like to do in their own lives, always an excuse for themselves, but not for others. That's when you can be sure that there's logs in your eyes that God would like to remove. Are you accepting this so far? Is it okay what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. I want to make sure everybody hears with the right heart. The right heart of God. You know, I just want to stop and tell this story because God will confirm things. I was having a meal with a guy I had done business with, but I hadn't sat with him for 4 or 5 years. And so I began to, when I asked him some questions, how he's doing, how his wife was doing, and how his family was doing. And this is where another thing where the Lord began to show me, he began to, and you got to hear the whole thing, he began to complain about his daughter. And she lives in, you know, the Communist Republic of California, he said. And she's a Democrat, and she's this, and she's that, and she married a communist. All this anger and bitterness I could hear coming forth, and I stopped. I said, yeah, but Jesus can change that. And what I realized is I was sitting there as all this bitterness and resentment is coming forth, where he hadn't even talked hardly to his daughter in many, many years. I began to realize that there was logs in his eyes that he could not even see God's love for his own daughter. And as I began to be there, that God began to speak to my heart that some of the things, the way he acted and the way he is keeping his daughter where she is, because she cannot see the love of God coming forth from this man, her father, because there's too many logs in his eyes, and all he could do is see the specks in hers. And you tell me, well, how did you know? Because God in my life has removed many logs in my eyes in this area where I can now help people with their specs. Not in every area, but I sure can in that area. He couldn't see it. But he kept saying, but yeah, but Jesus could do this. It won't be the Republican Party that saves her anyway. It will be Jesus Christ. Now, she can get born again and then become a Republican. That's okay. She can vote right, but what does it matter what her affiliation is? Communism, California, all these things he began to say. And I felt like the Lord just spoke to me and said, this guy is part of the reason why he doesn't see the love of God. It's logs in his eyes. More than ever, I said, Lord, I don't want logs in my eyes, those things that I can't see. So examining yourself is very much scripturally. This is going to 2 Corinthians. This is Paul, the apostle of grace. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6, it says, this is Paul. He says, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. He says, but I expect that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. And you hear there, it's like, what? Well, if you go through First and Second Corinthians, if you go even back to chapter 12 and towards the end of that, he was talking about all the things that were tearing the church apart. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 11, where we take communion, remember that's a place where he says, hey, when you get together, it's for the worse, it's not for the better. You've had a church split. You've got people that are just coming to take the Lord's Supper that are just getting drunk. People are despising the poor. You've got people suing one another. You've got people glorying in unrighteousness. So what he's saying here is to test yourself. Are you born again? Is Jesus living? Is he truly your Savior? See, that's what Paul's saying here. Test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Well, here's the thing. It's all by his grace and his mercy. I don't know about you, but he's had an impact and a change in my life. And as I was reading that, what led up to that, I go back to Jude chapter 1, where it says that there are those who take the grace of God to excuse wicked behavior, basically what it says. See, this is one thing. I'm not perfect. I still got my struggles. Amen. But the grace of God does not leave us where we're at. It brings us into his forgiveness. It brings us into understanding his righteousness. It brings us out of deception into his truth. It brings us into life. Amen. It brings us into victory. Is it fast enough? Not many times it isn't fast enough for me. The grace of God. One thing I realize in this coming year, the most important thing for people is what do you believe is right and wrong, righteousness and sinful. Let me tell you this, what I've come to realize too, as I talk to many people, God doesn't excuse it. God washes, cleanses, saves, and delivers us, puts us on another path. A path that sometimes seems painfully slow, but he puts us, nevertheless, he puts us on the highway to holiness. He gives me a heart, says, Lord, I know I'm messed up in many areas, but I belong to you. I give my life to you. And Lord, those things that are logs that I can't see, deceptions even, that Lord, that I'm blind to, that are logs my eyes, Lord, show me those things. Show me those things. Lord, see, that. Well, the beautiful thing is when we examine ourselves, see, we have the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit that comes inside us. Because I've come to learn too, when I love legalism, is I had my own, all my own little things of what I said was true and righteous and pure, but it's when in my own strength. And it was just legalism. But when I come into his mercy and grace and who I am in Christ, his Holy Spirit comes alongside me and says, that log, let's deal with that. Let's get off your phone when you're driving, Chad. Let's pull that log out of your eye. Some of those who have driven with me do think I'm dangerous. Let me say this, and let me just put this is all Paul. This is talking about examining and testing yourself. This was one in 1 Corinthians 11, 27-32. Stay with me for a few more minutes. This is Paul. He says, for this reason, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. A person should examine himself first, and in this way, let him eat the bread and drink the cup. I want to stop right there. I used to think, well, anytime I got any struggles, I can't come to communion. No, that's not at all. Let me just tell you this. If you got struggles, you're struggling with habitual habits or whatever, you need to take communion and say, Lord, I need your help. That's not what this is talking about. No, this is talking about those. If you read up in previous in that chapter, he's talking about those who are bringing harm and hurt against the body of Jesus Christ. That's what he was talking about. He was saying, hey, you that are causing destruction in the church, you need to examine yourself. You need to examine. He says, so a person should examine himself first, and this way let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For the one who eats and drinks without careful regard for the body, I'm thinking that's about the body of Christ, I mean us as the body, eats and drinks judgment against himself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and quite a few of you are dead. But if we examine ourselves, there's that again. But if we examine ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be contemned with the world. What's he saying? That there was people that were doing such harm to the church that it's like the Lord had kind of lifted his hand off of them. Because I can't have you despising the poor. I can't have you destroying my body. He loves his body. He loves his church. All of us with all our warts, with all our struggles, with all the things that where we still have logs in our eyes, we're still to love one another. It's still how he operates in the world. It's still how he gets his word. I don't understand it, but that's how he still works in this world. It's through his church. Even with all the beams and the logs still coming out of the eyes. But he said, examine yourself. And let me just say this. When he says examine himself, he told them what they needed to do differently. Before that and after that. He says, okay, when you come together, don't disregard the poor. Amen. Don't be coming to the Lord's Supper drunk. Amen. Love and esteem one another. So when he says examine ourselves, he didn't leave them in this thing where they got to figure out what they got to do. No, he laid it out for them. That's what I love about the Word of God, about revelation of the Word. When God began, when you examine yourself and you have the Spirit of God, he's the one that shows you. He's so faithful. He's the one that'll bring you in circumstances, you know, to help us. Talking about discipline, I'll just tell myself another time when I was younger, much younger, about 18. I don't know why I did this, but some people wanted me to go somewhere, and I said, I can't go. I'm sorry. I know it's important to you. These were older people, but I can't go because my grandfather died. And I got done with them like my grandpa. Eddie's not even sick. But I lied. And through these circumstances, they found out that I had lied. The Lord made sure that it was found out that I lied. I knew then that that was the Lord's discipline. I had to humble myself and go to them very sheepishly, very embarrassed. Say, I'm sorry I lied to you. My grandfather is not dead. He's still alive and he's still healthy. They were gracious to forgive me. But that's an example of the Lord disciplining me and say, don't. What kind of behavior is that, Chad? What kind of foolishness is that? See, the Lord didn't want me to continue on in that. He showed that to me were these things where I would lie about things. He says, let's deal with that log. Let's deal with that log. You know, 2 Corinthians 2:9 says, for to this end, Paul, I also wrote so that I might put you to the test. Whether you are obedient in all things. So we understand what Paul was dealing with this church. These tests, testing yourself. You know, it requires a humbleness. Amen. It requires a humbleness. A true humbleness that only the Lord can show you. Amen. Have you ever been in your life where you've got some prideful areas in your life when you finally humble yourself? Doesn't it feel so good? You can feel God's grace come into that area of your life. And you're like, man, why didn't I just humble myself there? Why was I obstinate? Why didn't I not humble myself in that area? See, God gives grace to the humble. He gives wisdom to the humble. When we humble ourselves is when these logs, God begins to show us that we can pull them out of our lives. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to show that scripture, Bill, but I'm going to move on. It says if it requires, how about this thing, these logs? It requires that we desire to live in the truth. So where are you finding truth? I say this a lot because we live in a generation and age that we have to remind ourselves that the Word of God is still as powerful now as the day that it was written in the Old Testament and in the New, in the light of the New Covenant. It absolutely, radically changes our lives. If you don't have an understanding of His grace and His mercy, if you don't have a desire to walk in these truths, those logs will remain in our lives for a lifetime. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven at all. I'm not saying that at all. But those logs will forfeit so much peace and grace and mercy and strength and God-given ability when we don't allow Him to deal with those logs. It requires a desire to live in the truth. We know the truth is the Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit, what did Jesus said? That I will give you the Spirit of truth. So it's the Holy Spirit illuminating the Word of God where we get truth. It's called revelation. He desires that for every believer. It's not just for pastors or teachers. It's for everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord. Amen. He desires through the Holy Spirit to bring truth in the inward part. Much more, we get salvation. We realize, okay, He saved me. I'm born again. Lord, show me these areas. Now begin to reveal your truths to me. Amen. So what are the benefits of the willingness to examine ourselves? Where's the benefits? Amen? What are the benefits? It gives you a marriage that can be better than you ever imagined. You know, it's funny. I've had the opportunity to do some marriage counseling. Of course, nobody in here, so I don't have to worry. And it's funny where when you get together with these people, they spend their time trying to point out all the specs. in the other person's eyes, right? Beck said, I'll give you another example. Nobody here, but I had this husband and wife come in, and she starts just wailing on her husband. I've caught him looking at, he didn't even say pornography, I've caught him looking at sports, one of those sports magazines, swimsuit edition. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying that at all. So, but I saw him looking at women in bathing suits. And all this has started hammering on him, right? And as we're talking, you know, the Lord will always guide into truth if you allow him. You know, I start finding out that, well, they don't even sleep in the same bed. They haven't slept in the same bed for several years. And as I begin to minister with them, the Lord began to show me these logs in her eye that she was not willing to deal with. He was willing to deal with all the specks in his eyes, but these logs in her eyes she wasn't willing to deal with. A matter of fact, after that, never saw her again. I was so hopeful the Lord, I know the Lord was desire to restore that marriage. I know that he wanted to, he desired to, even the husband desired to, but in this circumstances, the wife was saying without realizing it, you won't deal with any logs in my eyes, I will not. The best marriages in the world is when the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of truth is amongst you, amen, and God begins to deal with those logs in each individual's eyes. Then with love and kindness, we can deal with each other's specks. Amen? Does that make sense to you? It prepares you to be the best husband or wife that you can be. Amen? Dealing with some logs now, right? Things in your life, shortcomings and weaknesses. God begins to show you those things, preparing you for marriage someday. Amen? Amen. It will allow you to be a blessing and to be blessed in your employment if you're there. Dealing with God showing your own logs allows you to be the best employee that God wants you to be, or the best employer. Sometimes God will show you things that you need to deal with so that you can walk in further blessing, further understanding. But it requires some of these logs to be dealt with. It allows you to be the best parent possible, even to a wayward child. I am telling you, one of the most, and I'm talking to myself, I've been there many times, and many times we're dealing with wayward children. Sometimes how we deal with it, we don't even realize we have some logs in our own eyes that we need the Lord to show us. How do you know? Because I see it over and over and over again. Not condemning people, just see it. It allow you to be the best parent possible to a wayward child. It allow you to come into walking in his joy, the joy of the Lord, walking with him even when you're dealing with very difficult circumstances. See, regardless of whether you see your kids not or not very often, somehow they've got to see the joy of the Lord in our lives. They've got to see that regardless of what these individuals are doing, I am walking in the blessing, I'm walking in the strength, I'm walking in the joy, I'm walking in his power and his anointing, and it doesn't happen in the time frame we want, but I'm telling you, it will make a difference. This friend of mine who just continued to rail against those things his daughter was doing, the Lord showed me his logs were part of the problem. I'm telling you, I want the Lord to show me in those things in my ministry and in my relationships. Lord, where are those logs or things that I don't see in my eye that you can remove so that I can truly be a blessing, amen, can truly minister God's love. Had to deal with many of those logs myself. Amen. It allows you to serve the body of Christ with joy. Sometimes when people have logs, what they'll do is they'll spend their time just kind of they'll spend all their time pointing at all the specks in everybody else's eyes. And they're no value or benefit to the body. Or they won't even serve the body because they're looking at the specks. But in those cases, I promise you this, there's always big beams coming out of those individual sight. I promise you. Lord, may I not be one of those. I know the body's not perfect. I know we need to grow, and we are growing individually. But Lord, I pray I would pull the beams out of my eyes how I look at the body. You may say, yeah, but you don't know what's happened to me. I most likely do. But you don't know how I've been treated. Yes, I do. But you have to choose to have that sight and not allow resentment or bitterness to put a beam in your eye where you start to be like one in the Corinthians church, where they were actually not a benefit to the body at all. In some cases, they actually became a curse to that body. But not anybody here, amen. Amen. It allows the anger that you can't seem to get rid of to be released. We let things go. God shows us, remove those things and allow that anger through hurt and pain to be dissolved by the love of God. Did you know that's His desire this morning? It begins the process of dealing with the root of bitterness. This being the most dangerous of those things that can be a log. James says it defiles many. Let me tell you, in dealing with bitterness in my own life, that it's a process. It's not a quick prayer. It's not a quick deliverance session. It has taken time for things where bitter roots that I had in my life for many, many decades, where the Lord showed me those things, and I had to pray through that, keep worshiping, keep forgiving, keep asking Him to change the way I think in these areas where I don't even realize it, that God would pull out that root of bitterness so that I could walk in complete freedom. Bitterness may be one of the biggest problems we deal with in society today. So bitterness means, no, I'm not forgiving. Not forgiving my parents, I'm not forgiving my children. I'm not forgiving that friend, I'm not forgiving that pastor, I'm not forgiving that ex-wife, that ex-husband, whatever the situation. Bitterness puts us in a place where it just defiles the way we think. God this year, I believe, is going to be dealing with logs in people's lives and roots of bitterness to get people to exactly where the Lord wants them. Hallelujah. And it's just this saying, Lord, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm willing to examine myself. I'm willing. See, we don't like it, so we're used to examining ourselves, making us feel terrible, or somebody criticizing us. But that's not the Holy Spirit. Other people might criticize you, have criticized you, so the thought of examining yourself actually brings pain. But with the love of the Holy Spirit, when we are examine ourselves for the truth, He actually brings healing and sight in those areas. It's the opposite of criticizing you. It's actually loving you. It's the opposite of condemning you. He's drawing you closer. Amen. Isn't that good news? Amen. Let me read this last group of scriptures, and as Gina comes up, the piano player. Thank you, piano player. She's actually the prettiest piano player I've ever met. And I am not lying. I don't have a beam in my eye in that area at all. I see clearly. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Philippians 3, 12, 16 says, not that I've already grasped it all. You know, none of us have grasped it all, knowing God's mercy and love and grace. Right? Nobody. Even Paul said here, says, not that I have already grasped it all or have already become perfect. He wasn't perfect. Do you realize you're not perfect? You have areas and I have areas that we're still maturing in. Did you know that? So he says, I haven't already been made perfect, but I press on. This is part of removing beams. It says, I press on if I may also take hold of that for which I was even taken hold of by Christ Jesus. He's saying, man, Christ Jesus has taken a hold of me. Has He taken a hold of your life? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you given your life to Jesus? I think I know everybody here, but I don't want to assume anything. That's what He desires, that you give your life completely to Him. the messes, the struggles, the good, the bad, the ugly. Amen. He just wants us to give it all to Him. He loves us. He loves us. Amen. He wants to take a hold of you. And then you spend a lifetime, the pleasure of, Lord, what's it to take a hold of you? You've taken a hold of me. What's it like to take a hold of you? We get to do that without any condemnation or fear. Amen. Or rejection. It's a wonderful life, regardless of where you're at age, to say, Lord, you've taken a hold of me. I'm going to take a hold of you. To press on, if I may also take hold of that for which I was even taken hold of by Christ Jesus. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward what lies ahead. Hey, how about this 2024, we have a heart and attitude is, Lord, I'm forgetting those things behind and I'm reaching forward for what you have. I don't know if I finished it, but we had that. I don't think I did. We had that tongues and interpretation with the word that came forth. The prophetic word was talking about God blessing his people in this coming year.
Amen. Absolutely.
God blessing his people. Amen. But if you're carrying depression or don't have any joy in your life, you can't have an expectation or an anticipation of grabbing hold of that. Amen. So you want to have an expectation and declaring, saying, Lord, thank you for blessing my life this year. Thank you for blessing me financially. Thank you for blessing my kids, regardless of the situation. And Father, along this way, thank you for removing some beams for me, from my eyes, so I can see circumstances, situations, and things in my life the way you see them. That is what I believe with all my heart God is doing in 2024.
Yes.
Blessing his people. He wants to bless. Do you know he wants to bless you? Do you realize it? Do you receive that this morning? He wants to bless you. He wants to bless your health. He got scriptures.
Yes.
He wants to bless your finances. We've got scriptures.
That's right.
He wants us to walk with a sound mind. We have scriptures. Amen.
Yeah.
He wants to continue to reveal truth to us. We have scriptures. Here's the question. Do you believe it?
That's right.
And are you willing to pursue it and seek it? Amen. Let's continue. So forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Man, there's so many things that could mean. Therefore, it says, therefore, all who are mature, let's have this attitude. I'm ready for that attitude. How about you? I am ready for that attitude. I'm done with some attitudes. I really am. It takes time, but I'm done with some attitudes. I'm tired of sulking and taking those attitudes out and petting them and saying, I deserve this attitude. You don't know what I've been through. Take my attitude and pet it and love on it.
I know. That's right. It's true.
It's my attitude and you can't have it. My attitude and you can't have it. But it's time to say, Lord, I give you those attitudes. Amen. Therefore, all who are mature, let's have this attitude. And if anything, and it says, if anything you have, it says, and if anything you have a different attitude, this is God's grace. God will reveal that to you as well. Isn't that wonderful?
Thank you, Father.
Means he's not giving up on you. We've all got some attitude he needs to change. And Paul's saying there, he's going to do it. He's going to show you. You're not going anywhere. He's got a hold of you.
That's right.
Amen? He can love you more than you could rebel in areas.
That's right.
He's going to show you those attitudes. There's going to come a time where you're going to take that attitude and start petting on it, and it's mine, whether it be feeling sorry for you, and you're going to examine yourself. The Lord's going to show you and say, that attitude is no longer a part of me. In Jesus' name, go.
Yes.
And take the devil that's been feeding that attitude with you.
Amen.
He can go with you. And then God replaces it with his joy and his love and the truth of the Word of God. Oh, that excites me. That excites me.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
He says he'll reveal that to you as well. And he says, but however, let's keep living by that same standard to which we have obtained. Saints, what God has done in your life and what you have obtained, don't give up ground. Don't give up ground. But you don't realize what's coming against me. You tell those emotions and that devil to shut up. And by faith, you hold Amen. Your ground.
That's right.
The shield of faith, extinguishing the fiery darts of the wicked one.
That's right.
The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. In Jesus' name, you'll not have that in my home anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll not do that in my life anymore. Can we stand up together? Father, we thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you for your anointing this morning. Maybe there's some things that God is beginning to show you, or you could be this week saying, Lord, this is what I would recommend. Lord, start to show me. Say, Lord, show me logs. Show me things in my life that you were removed. Lord, it doesn't matter your age. You just humble yourself and say, Lord, I belong to you. There's some things that you want me to do differently. There's some things that you want to see, that you want me to see from a different perspective. There's some truths and some promises in the Word of God that you want to claim. You want me to claim for my life and for my family. Show me those things, Lord. But the log in my eye that I can't see, it's hindering me. So, Father, we thank you for showing us truth in those areas. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for your anointing in our lives. Amen. In marriages, blessing marriages in Jesus' name. Taking logs out of marriages, out of friendships, taking logs, Father God. Those who are called and have purpose, but it's been hindered because of logs in their eyes, Father God. Lord, I pray that you would show those to individuals, Father God, that they can repent, meaning turn away from those things and go a different direction. Lord, we pray this year would be a year of you, Father God, by the Spirit of truth, as we examine ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit, removing logs. Lord, that is my prayer this morning. We thank you for the power of the Word of God. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God. We thank you for your love for our lives, your anointing our lives. We thank you for growing us, strengthening us, leading us, opening doors in our lives, Father God, whether it be in business, whether it be in our jobs, whether it be in ministry, Father. We thank you for logs being removed so that those doors could be open. So, Father, we declare those things. We speak those things. We receive those things. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Do you love him this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.